Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 4. We had in our Adult Learning Center teaching on Jude, and I feel very much like Jude today in that I wanted to continue to address the matter of the blessing of marriage, and especially the wife's role and position. Since I addressed the husband's role and position last week, I very much wanted to continue with that, but feel it necessary, as Jude said, to address this issue that has affected us all, and that's this coronavirus. And my remarks are going to be few. I'm not preaching a full sermon now, but just some reminders, because our governor has declared a state of emergency and has requested that gatherings of 100 or more not be attended. So many churches are closed today, which I find interesting. Since our president has declared a national emergency and has declared today as a national day of prayer, which you've not gotten much press about, you can make of that what you will. I think there is a reason for that, and I think it's because the media does not like our president. And some will not honor this because he has declared it. Let me ask you this. I was thinking about Jonah and his mission to Nineveh and what the king's response there was. Do you remember what the king's response was? He issued 3 days of prayer and fasting. Now, some think our president does not have moral standing to declare a day of prayer. Do you think the king of Nineveh had moral standing to declare a day of fasting, a time of fasting? The king of Nineveh was far, far worse, had much more blood on his hands. Not that our president does, but you get what I'm trying to say. It is not who, but what. And the what is our president has declared a day of prayer among God's people. And we are honoring that. But we need to remember that our God is on the throne, and everything is under his control. I mean everything, folks. And you younger folks, you really need to get this early in your life, early on. It is not a trite saying, but I'll keep saying it. There is not a molecule in the universe, but there's something even smaller than a molecule, and that's an atom. And I'm sure there's even something smaller than an atom, but there is not any particle in this universe that is not under the control of Almighty God. And we call him Almighty because that's what the Bible says. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You have one who is, who was, that is, he always existed. He exists now, and he is to come. That is, Jesus is coming back. He is eternal. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the beginning of this coronavirus, and he's the ending of this coronavirus. If you know anything about any world history, you've known that the world has experienced many, many plagues, many, many pestilences, many, many viruses. And they're all under control of the Lamb. And I'm so glad for the music that we had today to magnify the Lamb. Because that's what the book of the Revelation is all about. The book of the Revelation's central figure is the Lamb. That designation is used over and over and over, especially in chapter 5. The word throne is used over and over and over and over in Revelation. Multiple times. I think it's dozens of times. Throne, to let you know that God is on the throne. In chapter 4, and some of the children, some of the younger ones might want to know, well, where is this worthy is the Lamb language coming from? Well, it's coming from Scripture. When John says in Revelation 4, verse 1, after this, that is, after he had received the messages to the churches, the seven churches, which represent God's people from all times and all different circumstances, all different locations. God speaks because Jesus is walking among the churches. He holds the churches in his hands. He knows what's going on among his people. He knows us better than we know ourselves, folks. And after the messages to the seven churches, John looks and beholds a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, could be a reference back to Christ in chapter 1, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne stood in heaven, and one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. That is, symbols of the Holy Spirit. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And these are angelic beings. All of these angelic beings are worshiping God. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." So the first praise from the angelic beings is to God the Creator. And notice, you created all things. That's why I say this coronavirus is God's virus. He created it. And it says, and by your will they existed and were created. Everything exists today by God's will. Even what we consider disasters, even what we consider evil, is by God's will. for some reason that we may not understand fully. So John gets this incredible vision of God on the throne. Now, if you look at chapter 5, he gets another vision. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seal?" That's the basis of the song that we sang. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And what is that scroll? There are many views on that, but basically it's the future, the destiny of the world. Who's worthy to open it? And John said, nobody's worthy. Nobody can control the future. Nobody can set out history and plan it and determine its course. Nobody on earth, nobody in heaven, nobody under the earth, in the demonic realm, in the human realm, in the angelic realm, nobody is. No wonder he's crying. What in the world's going to happen in the future if nobody is going to be in control? And I love what it says. And I've meditated upon this many times. When I think of people that I deal with who are just crying, some literally, because they feel hopeless. Some terrible thing has happened in their life and they're just crying and weeping and it's so painful and they don't see any future. I love what one of the elders said. And I consider myself, because I'm one of the elders, this is good advice for people who are hopeless. Stop crying. Stop weeping. Stop. And it's emphatic, the way it's presented in the Greek text. Stop crying. Stop weeping. Behold, get a different perspective. Get a better look. Stop focusing on what you can't see. Look. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. The Lion has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw, you can imagine, he turns to look, and what's he expecting to see? He's expecting to see a lion, because that's what the elder says. Stop crying, look, a lion. But he doesn't see a lion. He sees a lamb. A lamb that looks as if it has recently been slain. That's the sense there. As though it had just been slain. So here is a lamb dripping with blood. Again, a reminder of how the Lion, who is the Lamb, conquered. It was through his death that he conquered the enemy. He conquered the devil. But he's not just standing there. looking like he's just been slain, he has seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Again, the seven horns are perfect power. Perfect power and perfect knowledge. In other words, he is omnipotent. There's a big word for you, which means all-powerful. And omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down again before the Lamb now. This is the second time they're falling down. Don't they know how to stand up? Not in the presence of this, they don't. They fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. If you don't think your prayers matter, look at this text. This is what the angels are going to take before God when you pray. So our prayers matter. Our SIP meeting coming up this Wednesday matters, because all your prayers that you pray as we gather together are going to be gathered up by the angels and will be presented before God. And they sang a new song saying, here we go. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. And he gives two reasons here. Why? For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. God has a worldwide plan, folks. The United States is not the only nation in this world. God's plan is to ransom, which he's already bought and paid for, people from every tribe, every language, every people group, every nation, from Indonesia to Bolivia, to Tuva, around the world. It's already been bought. And his plan is a global plan. And everything that happens is so that the gathering of God's people from these tribes, nations, languages, and will take place. And then John looks again in verse 11, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And that's just a way of saying there's millions of them. Millions of angels surrounding God on the throne and the Lamb, millions of them, saying with a loud voice, they're not timid whatsoever, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive a sevenfold praise. Notice the seven things. Worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. So this is perfect praise. This is complete praise being given to the one who is worthy of it. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying to him who sits on the throne, that's God the Father, and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. That's why the Lamb is worthy of our worship. And that's why I'm not concerned whatsoever. Because as you read on in chapter 6, when the Lamb opens the seals, that signifies He's in complete control of the destiny of this world. And though some think that chapter 6 on is for some distant time in the far distant thousands of years future, I submit to you that some of these things have already happened. And that what we have presented here is the time between the first and second comings of Christ. So that what you see happening, you see conquering. Jesus said, nation will rise up against nation. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Then you see taking peace from the earth. Again, war. Then you see the black horse, scarcity happening, famine. Have you heard about the locusts in Africa that have eaten up just thousands and thousands of acres? The fourth seal, I looked, the pale horse with death and Hades following, given authority to kill with the sword, famine, with pestilence, and with wild beasts. Who has authority over this pestilence? Who has authority over everything that's happening on this earth? It's our Lord Jesus, the Lamb, who's worthy. So I'm not concerned. What I am concerned, and I'm just going to share this with you as family, what I am concerned is that we need to beware of government's emergency measures. I listened to our president, and I heard him. But folks, national emergencies are an opportunity for further encroachment by government in the name of acting for the health and well-being and safety of its citizens. And ultimately, Christians should not look to the government for our well-being. I am very skeptical and concerned about the beast, as later on in Revelation we learned about the beast. Especially when it wants to protect its citizens. And I don't look to the beast to do anything for me other than what God has ordained it to do. That is to reward those who do good and to punish those who do evil. That's the role of the government. But we are not, we are seeing far more encroachments into our lives. And what concerns me is that we look to government to do for us what we should look to God to do. That's the whole gist of the Psalms. God is our refuge. God is our very present help in time of trouble. And our help comes from God. Psalm 121, I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help doesn't come from the hills. I look to the government. Where does my help come? My help doesn't come from the government. My help comes from the Lord. Now the government has a role. But it's not the government that's going to save your life or make your life even more pleasant. It is God. And we don't look to God, to government, to preserve life. As I was thinking, and I may be speaking hyperbolically, I don't know, but ultimately, do you know how many lives are being saved by the measures that are being taken? Washing your hands and using hand sanitizer and, coughing. Yeah, how many lives are being saved by that? Not a one. Not a one. Because it is God who determines who lives and who dies. And you can wash your hands and you can use hand sanitizer, and I encourage you to do that, and I want you to do that, and you need to stay away if you're sick, and if you need and you need to stay away from the elderly, and you know, and all that. But Job said what? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when I've got more things to say about death and dying as I get into Genesis 3, but let me just say, this is the time to ask people seriously, are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Are you young people, are you ready to die? I mean, right now, you walk out that door, you have a better chance of getting hit by a car than of you getting this coronavirus. Are you ready, if some car runs you over and you're dead, are you ready to meet God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? So that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you say, well, you don't say, well, I hope so. I hope I'm ready. I hope I'm going to heaven. No. There's no hope so with life and death. It's either you are ready or you're not. You will be in the presence of the Lord or you will not. And the only way that we can do that is by faith in Jesus Christ, not by faith that, well, I've lived a pretty good life. There's no pretty good with God. Because there's none good, no, not one. I also am skeptical of legislation passed during this time. Because measures could be written into legislation that reach beyond the current situation. Which I heard on the talk show this week, that is what is in that bill that the House just passed. There are measures that beyond this present situation that is going to affect your life and mine, beyond what's going on. And it's been passed. It's not passed by the Senate yet, but it's passed by the House. And we've already had experience with that with previous legislation where the representative said, you have to pass it to see what's in it. 2,000 pages of legislation which were passed, and now the consequences. I think we need to beware of pride and government officials that declare, we will unite and defeat this virus. We will unite and defeat this virus? Oh my, that concerns me. And again, I remind you that you will not die 1 second before God has determined. You are immortal till God is finished with you. And finally, I would pray that the gospel would spread as quickly as this virus or the attention that it's receiving. And I pray that believers would infect others with the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others would hear the good news and be saved, and they in turn could infect others. We hear about these viruses being opportunistic. I wish we were as opportunistic to take advantage of the opportunity given to us now to speak boldly and clearly and truthfully to people who need to hear. And they need to be saved, not from a virus, but they need to be saved from the wrath of God. Because at the end of chapter 6 in Revelation, that's coming too. The great day of the wrath of the Lamb is coming. And we have the answer for people to hear. So Ruby's going to come, and we're going to close by singing a hymn that you may not be familiar with.